All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network. Socialpodcastnetwork.com. Check it out. Check out all of our podcasts, local folks doing local podcasts. Hope everyone's doing well. It is Friday, April 16th, one day after tax day, which has been extended. So, yeah, doesn't mean anything. Friday, April 16th. Another typical day. It's been a minute. Haven't really been doing too many of these podcasts. Just got to take a break sometimes. And to be honest, I have not been feeling that good or that well. Good, well, whatever. I got that vaccine, and the next day, I don't know, it's just been a weird kind of like week. Got a cold, just felt shitty. Did some other podcasts. I've been listening back on these other ones that we've been doing, and I could just tell I'm all nasally and just not really feeling well. But I'm starting to feel better, actually. Actually, I'm starting to feel a lot better. Ran this morning with my buddy James, but I ran on Wednesday. I ran on Monday. So it's just, you know, it is what it is, but coming through it. And it's also a weird time of the year, you know. We're in the spring, I guess, but it's still kind of cold. You know, I'm fine with the cold when it's cold, but this time of the year, you know, you get like some warm days and some cold days, and I'm just kind of over it. So I don't know. Just finally getting back into some sort of running routine. The weather's nice. I'm feeling better. I started doing push-ups. As weird as that sounds, it's strange at my age, at 52, you know, I've been a little consumed by getting older, and it's been on my mind, and I'm starting to act like I'm getting older, and I'm starting to do things with thinking or considering, could I be injured because I'm getting older, and I don't want to mess up. You know, I fell off that one of my kids' toys a couple years ago, and just really, I hit the ground with such reality that it's kind of made a permanent mark on my mind, and I'm just kind of living frail, sort of. And I need to, you know, I'm only 52. You know, I was telling somebody, I go, you know, it's weird, but at 52, I'm really thinking about like dying. You know, I'm like doing math. You know, so 52, my dad's 83, so that's what, 31 years. You know, I see how my dad is at 83, and he's doing pretty well. Actually, I take that back. My dad's doing very well. But, you know, I don't know. You know, the end is coming. My mom passed. You know, when I was in my 20s and late teens and 20s and 30s, you know, I didn't think about any of that. Nothing can stop me. Just do whatever. No consideration of my health or the future or tomorrow. And now I'm starting to really consider all that, and it's bizarre. You know, it's really, you know, you just start all of a sudden realizing, shit, bro, your time is coming to an end. Then I was also thinking about, I watch a show, Skip and Shannon. It's just this, you know, a couple guys chatting about sports. But I remember when the show started, and they said that the show started in 2016. And that just seems like it was yesterday. And I guess 6 years later, right? Where did that time go? I mean, this past year just really just basically was just a null. Just flew by. So I guess that's kind of what's been on my mind, and I don't know. It's really bizarre, but I got up this morning, went for a nice run with my buddy. I feel good. Like I said, I started doing push-ups. You know, it's these simple little tasks that are so simple that I'm like, I don't need to do that. But I could feel my body strength, my upper body strength was kind of lacking, and you know, you start, you know, you wave at people and the bottom of your arm kind of flaps around. You're like, oh, shit, what's that? So I'm like, shit. So I just started finally getting back into like a little bit of some physical exercise. So push-ups. And I started and I did like, I think the first time I think I did like 5 good push-ups. And then I got up to 7 and then 10 and then to 20. And now last night I did 40. So I'm improving. And it's funny because I can feel, you know, I feel my chest tightening back up, which feels good. And my arms are getting a little more, my triceps are firming back up. And I feel like my posture is changing a little bit. And it seems like as I get older, my body just wants to curl into like a freaking ball. And, you know, I'm really focusing now a lot on stretching. I think I shared a little bit about this, but stretching has become a huge part of my mornings and my nights. You know, I get, when we go to bed, I usually lay on the floor and stretch and do push-ups. And, you know, I'm just trying to be a little bit better. But what I was thinking about, you know, I ran with my, like I said, I ran with James and we were talking about, you know, we just get into life and, you know, I was sharing with him that one of the things that I've been, has been on my mind is that people that participate, let's see, how do I say this? People want to participate with people that want to participate, right? Does that make sense? You know, sobriety, life, working, you know, young parents, whatever it is. If you participate, if you show up, if you care, people will surround you to help you. But if you are the kind of person that doesn't really care, likes to kind of push things off onto other people, we tend to see a lot of resistance from these people. And it's just, you know, it happens as kids, it happens as young adults, mid-age adults, you know, we have to participate. And I shared a little bit, I think, I can't remember what I share, really. It's all a blur. But I think I've talked about this Van Nystad and his YouTube channel of The Spirited Man. And I love The Spirited Man message because it takes race out, it takes age out, it takes gender, it takes everything out. Are you spirited? You know, I look at my daughter who's 8, and she is so spirited. You know, there isn't a concern on her mind, right? She runs around, you know, one of the nice things that's been happening is the weather's been nice. So, and not to go too crazy on a tangent, but I believe that part of the hard part that I've been going through, at least through winter and this the pandemic, is and I think I've talked about it, is parenting. And, you know, there's not a lot to do. And when the kids aren't in school, you know, they end up being on the computer a lot. So through the winter, we made a lot of adjustments because, you know, like at a certain point, we all put down our electronics and we would sit and watch a show together and the kids would run around and play. But the nice thing is the weather's been getting better, so we've been spending time outside every night throwing the football with Sam, and Teresa plays horses outside, and she runs around swinging a rope yelling, "Daddy, I'm a tornado!" And I'm like, "You go, girl." She is spirited. You know, my son, he is spirited. He gets up, and he's excited. Of course they're spirited, right? They're 8 and 9 years old. But at 52, are you spirited? And I was talking to my buddy this morning, and he goes, "Well, what does spirited mean?" And and because, you know, as guys, he's sober, I'm sober. You know, as a person in recovery, you know, you hear about this spiritual awakening, and you hear about, the spiritual awakening. And he was like, "Is that a spirited person, a spiritual awakening?" And I'm like, "No, I don't think so." You know, I think what I take as a spirited man is somebody that just, or a spirited woman, they are spirited as well, But it's a person that's willing to take on the day. You know, don't tell me what I can't do. Tell me what I can do. You can tell me what I can't do. I'm going to figure out a list and figure out how I'm going to be able to do those things. You know, what can I do? What can I fix? What problems are going to come at me today that I'm going to handle? And I'm going to make the most of it. And I'm going to live in this one 24-hour period. And I'm going to be spirited. And I love that, you know, because it doesn't matter the color of our skin. It doesn't matter our gender, even though that we can be spirited man or a spirited woman. Or, the point is a spirited person. I just happen to watch the Spirited Man YouTube channel. But he does talk about spirited women and stuff like that. So I think it's just spirited. But, you know, you got to show up, right? You have to, you know, tell me 100 things that I can do or tell me 100 things that I can't do. I think we all know in our lives spirited people. And, you know, and I was telling James this morning, I said, unfortunately and fortunately, we are forced to address this kind of thing because, you know, if we don't, we end up, what, drunk or using or whatever it is. But if you're not like an alcoholic or you're not a drug addict or, you're not dealing with something that's wrecking your whole life, figuring out spirituality and being spirited are tough to figure out. And so that's why I like this guy's podcast or YouTube channel, because he's bringing back the idea of being spirited. And I love it. You know, he also talked about a book, The Fourth Turning, which I started reading. I'm not a reader, but he inspired me so much to read this book. And I was telling James, I go, I'm reading this book, but like every other word I don't understand. I want to read it. You know, I've always wanted to fit in as a person that read, you know. And since I'm not a great reader, I'll always take the position like, I don't need to read. I can come up with my own thoughts. You know, sometimes I wonder if people that read so much, when you talk to them, is this regurgitated reading, you know, that they're telling me? Or are these just natural, simple thoughts that, you know, humans have? But I'm reading this book and I'm like, damn it, I am not a great reader. But the funny thing is this guy has inspired me to do something that I don't like doing and I'm doing it. I don't understand it, but I'm forging through. And, you know, I love it. I love it. And it's just, I don't know. I'm just super grateful today. You know, we were talking about, you know, the spiritual awakening and, you know, some of these things that I tried to find, a spiritual awakening, a spirited person, happiness, serenity. You know, it's like I think that if I walk through the field of particulars and I'm going to find these things, and they're not findable. They're really a byproduct of hard work, the removal of something. You know, if you dig a big hole, you know, if you walk out into a field and you're like, well, there's no water here. I need water. And so you dig a giant hole and eventually the hole fills up with water. It's not like you found the water. It was the removal of something else. And that's kind of like, to me, what the spiritual awakening is, being a spirited person. You know, if I wake up in the morning and go, I can't do that. I can't do that. You know, it's kind of like, it's almost like a great opportunity to kind of force step some of that stuff. Like, I can't do that. Well, you can, but you might not be as good as your person that's inspiring you. So maybe that's why you're not doing it or whatever it is. But you have to kind of figure out what the real truth behind the reasoning is. And usually it's, for me, I'm not going to look as good as this person or I'm not going to be as good as this person, so I'm just not going to do it. You know, I was talking to somebody this morning and she goes, I couldn't run 25 feet. I go, then run 20 feet and walk the other five. You know, walk, you know, set your goals. You know, and she mentioned a local person that does a diet and she wants to do it. And I'm like, yeah, he does a great diet, but you know, it's expensive and it's hard to maintain, but you're inspired by him. And so you do it and you see weight come off. The only problem is it tends to come back. Right. And I'm like, just find, you know, work through your shit, work through the shit. And if you can't run 25 feet, run 20 feet and then walk a bit. And then run 22 feet the next time and then walk a bit. Get past the breakers. I love watching, for some reason on YouTube, I watch this channel. And it's basically a guy with a camera filming boats coming in and out of, I guess, maybe it's Miami. It's down in Florida. And it's kind of like where I live. We have, you know, the bay. And then to get out to the ocean, you have to go through the inlet. And the inlet is this bridge where all of the ocean comes in and goes out through the tide. So it is pretty dramatic there. And if you're in a little boat, you know, God help you. But this guy films these big, giant, beautiful boats, little boats, jet boats, you know, whatever they are, all the different boats down in Miami, you know, or down in Florida. But whether it's a beautiful boat or a piece of shit, they all have to grind through this fucking breakers. And it's interesting because you watch these boat owners and some know some know what they're doing and some don't know what they're doing. And you can take the most beautiful boat, and if you don't know what the fuck you're doing, you get your ass kicked in these waves.
Again. I call
there it is. I love that song. Scorpions, what's up? Old school. Yeah, but it's about, you know, it's... I've always said that I'm my own biggest enemy. I will talk myself out of everything. And it's a battle, you know. And I've learned this over time. That's why, you know, I set myself up with people so that I'm committed. Because by myself, you know, the committee will talk me out of shit. And, you know, I remember that, and I giving that person advice about running 20 feet. I remember when I started running, it was the second phase of this transition of this person that I had become. You know, I'd become a heavy drinker, really ate terribly, didn't exercise, smoked cigarettes. I was in my 20s and early 30s, and I just didn't care. I didn't understand. I didn't appreciate. I didn't have the gratitude that would come later. The appreciation for having this vehicle that I've been given. And I remember when I got sober and I was just like, you know, come to a world that I had forgotten even existed and never really even been a part of, because even the life that I lived before I even started using was so immature that this new world of freedom and a vehicle and a job and, you know, relationships and, you know, relationships with people other than my parents or my parents' friends, but this new world that I had kind of come into under the influence and removing all of that shit, I was just like, whoa, look at what I got. And I just wanted to catch up. Just wanted to catch up and to be, you know, in high school, you're either in sports or you're not. So you're pretty much pigeonholed into these little groups. But after high school and schooling's over, you're free to do whatever. And I'm like, I want to run. And, you know, I was going to school up in New Jersey, and I remember going, and I've said this before, going to the gym and, you know, working out and doing some bench presses and stuff, and then running on the treadmill and then getting in the car and having a cigarette. And, you know, doing that for a while, and then finally, you know, deciding that I loved running more. I loved the life. And anybody that smokes and is coming to the end of it, whether you're going to quit or you're going to drag it out for another 20 years, but you're still at that point, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, when I was smoking, you could still smoke in restaurants and there wasn't so much shame around it. But I was feeling the shame. People didn't want to be around cigarette smoke. You'd have to kind of go off into your own thing and smoking in my car. And it's just, you know, I think back and I'm like, oh, but I started running. And I remember when I finished school, I came back to my house here in Delaware and I was like, I just want to run to the corner. And this is a guy that's been smoking cigarettes since he was 15. And so what am I, 37 now? So, you know, it had been a long time. You know, and in my mind, too long, right? My lungs must be ruined. I fucked them up. And I just remember I ran to the corner and then I power walked around the block a couple times. And I got up and I ran to the corner and just ran around. And eventually I started running. And, you know, it was funny because today when we ran, you know, I told my buddy, I said, do you want to try to have a little goal? Because unfortunately for me and for my buddy James, we're both getting older. He's 659, I'm 52. You know, we've lifted weights together. We've gotten jacked up together. We've pumped up together and we've run together. And here we are at 59 and 52. And all the things that have changed, but in the end, nothing has changed. And I'm asking him, I'm like, do you want to try to should we try to run 2 miles without stopping? Because, listen, we do it for the mental part of it. I definitely need the mental medication of running and suffering and grinding through it. It's definitely helpful for me. But at the same time, you know, I also want to, like, be in better shape. So, you know, we run, but we'll stop and take some pictures and laugh. But I said, why don't we... you know, because I ran with my other friend, Brian, on Wednesday, and I said, why don't we, you know, let's get to 2 miles. Let's just, you know, we'll get to two, and then we can stop for a second. And I said, you want to try to get to two? And he's like, no, I can't do it. And inside, I'm like, you physically probably could do it, but our mental side is what stops us. It happens to me. You know, I want to run, and then I get up in the morning, I'm like, you don't want to run. And so, you know, we try to help each other along. But after all this time and programming and sobriety, the committee is still there. And, you know, luckily we both showed up, and, you know, we didn't make 2 miles, but we did, we ran 5, but we didn't quite get to, he's like, I can't make 2 miles. And he goes, let's just get to the bridge. And I go, well, how about we run 25 feet past the bridge? He goes, let's do that. And so we ran past the bridge where he initially wanted to stop, 25 feet. And then we actually ended up running around the corner, up the hill, up the other hill, around a flat part, and then stopped. So he was physically capable. We were physically capable, but the mental side of us was like, no, you can't do it. And we did it. I mean, we didn't do too much. You know, there was nothing to really do. It was just some little game we were playing. But, you know, the fact is that we got past where we thought we could go and actually went a little farther. And it was just proof that, you know, you can't always listen to the committee upstairs. They're a tough group. You got to stay spirited, folks. All right, let's read Daily Reflections. Haven't read that in a bit. Daily Reflections. Here we go. You know, you can reach out. You can talk to me if you want. If you have any questions or comments or opinions, if you want to talk, if you have something that you're going through and I could share my experience, I would love to do that. You know, I'm not here to fix you. I'm just here to share what I've gone through. And if I can be of help in any way like that, then that's what I got. So reach out. I'm on Instagram. I'm sorry about last night. Give me a shout out. All right. April 16th, anger, a dubious luxury. I like that. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorms were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things are poison. All right, I'm going to read that again. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorms were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things are poison. Yes, they are. Resentments, especially justified. We talked about that this morning, too. here we go. Dubious luxury. How often have I remembered those words? It's not just anger that's best left to non-alcoholics. I built a list including justifiable resentments, self-pity, judgmentalism, self-righteousness, false pride, and false humility. I'm always surprised to read the actual quote. So well have the principles of the program been drummed into me that I keep thinking all of these defects are listed too. Thank God I can't afford them, or I surely would indulge in them. That's very true. You know, we were talking about this morning. What a gift that is that, you know, and I think that comes with being spirited. You know, when you have maybe a touchy, you know, especially right now, everything's touchy, right? A touchy subject conversation that gets a little heated, maybe doesn't go the way that you would have hoped, and maybe there is a split and it's not on the best terms. You know, prior to getting sober, I would have been like, fuck that guy. I'm right. They're wrong. Whatever. But it doesn't set well today with me. You know, it doesn't set well in my 24-hour chunk of time because I try to live like that, really in this chunk. And, you know, my buddy James, we've had some heated conversations, and we had a little bit of a heated one this morning. And I think it's because we just call each other out on our shit. And sometimes that kind of hurts. Or is, you know, ooh, yeah, offensive. But the difference is that, you know, we'll say, hey, man, sorry about that. You know, I don't know what that was about. I apologize. Or, hey, man, you know, we got to do better or whatever it is. But we don't let that anger live. You know, we were chatting about a good friend of mine. I've shared this story, and he got into it with my father and then came and visited me a couple days later and yelled at me and said it was my fault and stormed out, and we have yet to speak. And that's been a couple of years. And this was a guy that was my best friend. Literally spoke with him every day, if not a couple times a day. Watch his kids grow up. One of my closest friends ever. And I believe that this was his fault, this problem. You know, the argument that he got in with my dad, I had nothing to do with. I was cooking. Was it the mistake that I made was I invited him. I mean, I can't blame my dad because, you know, my dad picked me. I didn't pick my dad. And my dad can be a pain in the ass. It's fine. He stormed out and then got mad at me and said that, you know, wasn't his fault, and we haven't spoken since. And I said this to James this morning. I go, there's part of me that, you know, wants to reach out and clear it up. But he does not come off to me as a spirited man, you know. My decision to not reach out is unfortunately slightly justified, but it's not creating a lot of toxic stuff for me in my spirit, right? I'm like, listen, it's fine. You know, I know when I've done something and I've disrupted a relationship that was important. It just, you feel it. It's all over you. You're like, oh God, what do I need to do? You can't clean it up fast enough if you're spirited. And that to me is spirited. You know, you reach out, listen, hey, I don't know what was up. I apologize. I don't know what happened with my father and you, but I apologize. See, that just doesn't sound right. I'm sorry you got mad and stormed out. I apologize. That doesn't, it just, there's no spot for me. And the worst part is I'm not really that upset about it. I guess sometimes people just come into your life and they're there for however long they need to be, and then they're not there. And I need to be okay with that. Listen, I went a little long. I hope everyone's having a great day. Try to get back into my podcasting groove. Peace. Are we somewhere? Miss you.